Guys, welcome back. I know it's been a while since the last episode. To be honest with you, nobody has really tickled my fancy to come on. But, you know, sometimes as I thumb through the internet, I come across these little unicorns or little diamonds in the rough. And one day I was fiddling through Instagram. And as you guys know, I grew up in the 90s and there was a band called Blink-182 that I got to be honest with you, I personally don't like the guys, but this video came across and it caught my attention. And as I dug deeper, I found a real estate agent who is good at pretty much everything he puts his hands on. Welcome to the show, Colin Schiller. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good, Todd. Thank you very much. I appreciate the very flattering intro. Good at everything I put my hands on. I don't know if I go that far, but I really appreciate it. And, you know, I'm glad that you saw the video. And then I think the first time that we ever got in touch, really, I called you the real estate Gary V.
Yes. Yes. And as everybody knows, I'm a very abrasive person. So I didn't know that Colin was actually giving me a compliment. So I trolled that motherfucker back.
And
he was like, he DM'd me and he's like, no, I think you got it wrong. I wasn't trying to be a dick. I was trying to be like cool about it. And I was like, oh shit, sorry, bro. Believe, you know, as people go deeper into my stuff, they realize that there's some connections there. And it's like, I do get that. And I hate being compared to him. I don't hate being compared to him. I could be compared to somebody worse, but we don't agree on myself and Gary don't agree on everything. So there's a big difference between me and him. However, I will say this. Even though that I just said Colin is good at everything he touches, he is also probably, I don't like the word humble, but he's one of those people where you give him a pat on the back and he's like, eh, I didn't really need that. I appreciate it, but it's no big deal. So which makes Colin somebody that you just end up liking because they don't even have to try that hard. You just look at him and you're like, man, I really like that person. So, hey, that's why you're here, dude.
I appreciate it, man. I'm just having fun with things. I'm not here for fame. I'm not here for fortune. I'm truly having fun with it. I'm super grateful to have the people. I couldn't do it by myself. So I'm just super thankful and ready to give credit where credit's due. So yeah.
Yeah. Let's jump into this. So, you know, real estate has become kind of a popular niche that I got blessed into. Luckily with a couple friends that I grew up with and one young lady in particular who runs the Real Producer magazine here in Baltimore. And her name is Colleen and she does a great job. And she asked me to come speak and I spoke in front of a bunch of lenders and real estate agents and title clerks and stuff like that. And that's kind of how I made my entry into it here in the Baltimore, Maryland area. But yeah, Remax is who you represent, which nowadays, you know, when you think Remax, Century 21, things like that, you start thinking to yourself, oh, these are like all the old heads that did like the billboards and stuff like that. I'm kind of interested in, and I love the story of, you know, because there's so many other independent like real estate companies and brokerages out there right now, like we were talking about Real and EXP and stuff like that, where you're just like the epitome of the type of person they could build an avatar. You're who they're looking for, but yet you have gone this other route, this more traditional route. Tell me a little bit about how you got into the real estate business and, you know, why you're still in that, like, I would say traditional, you know, industry with that brokerage.
Yeah. So, real estate was never really entirely on my docket. I went to school, graduated. I was hired by Edward Jones to be a financial advisor right out of the gate. I actually went on a six week backpacking trip and decided that, you know, I was going to give it a shot, but I kind of had these realizations, you know, cliche or not, that I wasn't quite ready to like start that life. I came back, I gave it my best go studying for Series 7, Series 66, decided it wasn't for me. Ended up moving out to Colorado for a little while, and still not quite finding myself there. Sorry, I keep getting my hands bumped. My dog is messing with me right now. So the screen will shake and whatnot. So if people wonder what's going on, I'm in Wisconsin. We don't have earthquakes here. It's just a Doberman pincher. So I came back, you know, I was having all the fun that I could want. I was working part-time banquets, you know, making enough to get by. But I realized I wanted something more. I realized that I needed more of a professional career, but also something that was going to allow me to be myself, allow me to have freedom and flexibility. You know, I'd rather work 20 hours out of a day than 9 to 5 hours out of a day. You know, that typical, you know, work hustle grind. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just not for me. So I moved back home in early 2019. And I sat down with my old hockey coach. He hit me up and was wondering what I was going to be up to, that I was back now. And I told him that I was honestly thinking about real estate. And I knew that he was in real estate as well. He had just opened a Remax brokerage. He was with the Century 21, wanted to go and do his own thing, opened up a Remax brokerage, and was loving what he was doing. So I immediately went home after having our breakfast, and I signed up for my courses and kind of hit the ground running. So it's not necessarily that I had any type of attraction to Remax. You know, and I love Remax. I've loved the relationships that I've established with a lot of the agents, even the current CEO now, Nick Bailey, been super supportive with everything. Everybody within the RE/MAX community has been awesome, but it wasn't necessarily that brand or anything. It was, you know, a hockey coach, a friend, a mentor, situation. You know, someone who pushed me to be successful in other avenues of my life. You know, I figured that it'd be a good fit. So hit the ground running with him. And that's how I ended up with RE/MAX.
So you didn't have like previous experience in real estate. You were just kind of like this your coach, who at this point he'd already mentored you at some capacity in your life. It just seemed like an easy transition where he probably was like, looked at you and was like, dude, you could do excellent at this. And he knew you were a sharp guy.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, if experience counts, you know, watching Extreme Home Makeover and flipping television shows and whatnot, you know, and listening to Bigger Pockets podcasts, you know, towards the end of my stint in Colorado, you know, started to kind of listen and tune into that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, you know, real estate's awesome. You can do it all. There's so many different avenues. So maybe that's something that I should explore when I get back home. So, yeah, no general, you know, push or idea other than, you know, a couple little tidbits and then sitting down with, you know,
when you first got into it, were there a lot of people inside that brokerage that were utilizing social media to create awareness for themselves? Or was it one of those things where, again, I know you're from like a smaller area in Wisconsin. Was it more of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, everybody knows everybody?
So yes, it was that, you know, the small town vibes. This is my hometown. I do know a lot of people. I'm a social guy. I always tell people that I'm like a golden retriever. You know, I thoroughly enjoy people. I thoroughly enjoy them. I want to be around them. I want to talk. I want to have a conversation. So that vibe of knowing everybody in town, and then also understanding that I had to do something different. I think that video was, you know, not that it wasn't around before, but it was just starting to become, or seemingly become, a very important thing. When I got my license, I had a buddy that I was talking to, like, yeah, I'm getting into real estate. And he showed me a video of this agent in Minnesota selling a multi-million dollar lake home, suit and tie kind of guy, and hopped off the dock at the end of his video. I was like, that's cool. It stands out. If I want to sell a lot of homes and hop into this thing head first, and someone's going to use me, brand new pup right out of the gate, over, you know, the 25 year veteran, I better do something to stand out. So my first video, I threw on a bathrobe and people went nuts over it. And
I developed
my rogue realtor persona. And yeah, then I really realized in that moment, I knew that it was going to be important and pivotal before to use video marketing. Yeah. But I realized after that first video, just how much I would be able to use that lever to, you know, get to where I am now.
Yeah. And what's interesting, how long have you been in real estate?
This is my third year.
It's crazy. You know, here's the thing, because you always hear this from like a lot of like real estate agents, like it's like that's the first thing that they say is how long they've been in real estate. They're like, well, you know, I've been in for 20 years and I've got a lot of experience and I'm about here. I know what people are looking for there, chief. You know, they have that aura about them. And I've always been more of a numbers guy, where it's like, I don't give a shit how long you've been in the business. Your numbers speak for themselves. So I've always been like, let's compare W-2s.
Yeah.
I've always been like that guy, or 1099s, whichever way you want to do it. But at the end of the day, it's like, that's in my opinion, it doesn't matter about the length of time that you're doing it. It's about how quickly you've been able to assimilate to whatever industry that you're working in. It's interesting to me though, if you would have started previous to when video started becoming the attention grabber that it is now, where it's almost like you kind of have to do it for your content to even get any slight of traction, that how you would have handled it previously to that, because before it wasn't like that, right? Like I would say definitely within the time that you got in, that's when it started to be really one of the most important parts of your brand's, I would say, awareness, at least at this point, where video was that overarching thing that set you apart from everybody else. And I just don't think that enough people did that. So I think like the ability for you to be able to transition that into real estate that quickly, that's not normal. That's like that's a very rare occurrence, because I see so many real estate agents around me that still have a problem in doing that, and still have a problem in seeing that if they just invested a little bit of time and effort into it this way, the dividends would pay so much, but they, and not just in house sales, but in relationships, that in fruition would create this like perpetual pipeline for them, but they just refuse to do it. And that fear, it's just something some people can't get over. So, you know, I applaud you for that. When we talk about that first video, you know, you said you saw this guy in Minnesota, you know, do his thing. And then you were like, you know what, I should probably, talk me through that first video and where you were like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Like, talk me through like you coming up with that idea, the next step of like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And then, and moving forward with that.
So a lot of my stuff, and you know, still today even, is very off the cuff. I am lucky in the sense that I am a little bit more creative in an SNL type way. I walk into a room or a space or see a feature in a house that I want to utilize for something funny. You know, especially now, it's definitely a skill that I've developed. But you know, it was really like, what can I do to stand out? I have this bathrobe. I'm a hairy ass dude. I got a hairy chest. You know, so having that thing popped open a little bit, sipping my coffee, and then just throwing some other like one-liner kind of dad joke stuff in there to keep people watching throughout the video. Mm-hmm. Early on, my goal and my idea was, because people are, they're almost senseless, you know, not in a sense that they're, you know, senseless, but like, they are desensitized to everything that they see scrolling through their feed. So if it's not entertaining you, you're just moving on to the next. So my thing is, what kind of Easter eggs can I place throughout a video? How do I get people to keep watching? And how do I get people to click and watch my videos in the first place? So the first one I did, I wasn't really necessarily expecting anything, planning anything. But after that, I got super deliberate. And my main goal, when you see my name in a video with a play circle on it on your computer screen, I want you to think, what the fuck is he doing next? And you click that video and you watch it all the way through, because you know I got some shit in there that is going to make you laugh. And that was my very deliberate goal and purpose. So regardless of not going into things necessarily with a plan or having like an exact script or scene thing progression laid out, I was very deliberate about making sure that there's something in the beginning to catch your attention, there was something in the middle to keep you watching, and then there was something at the end to have you ready for the next one as well.
Yeah. So without even knowing it, you knew to apply like that catch, hook, and then like that payoff strategy in the production, which it, to be quite honest with you, you know, you hear a lot of these like social media, like, you know, they call themselves experts and gurus. People have called me that, and I refuse to take that as a, I don't know what the hell you call it, but I don't like when people call me that. And the reason I don't like it is because I don't know everything. I learn every week something new just by testing things and applying it to my own stuff. And then when I figure out something that works, that's when I share it with everybody. And I'm like, hey, I've been testing this and this really works. So maybe you should give it a shot. It might work for you too. But when people say like that, you know, they always do those types of introductions where it's like guru or expert. And then you see the people that actually call themselves that. I'm like, dude, no one is. There isn't one person on the planet that is an expert or a guru in any of this stuff. You can't be. A majority of this, 60% of it's luck. Whether anybody tells you that or not, 60% of this is pure fucking luck, because you have been as a hockey player, you'll understand this. You took so many shots on goal that it was inevitable that one of them was going to go in. The difference between you and everyone else is, what did you learn from that one that went in? And how can you try to replicate that over and over again? And you really touched on something that I have been trying to pound into the heads of so many real estate agents. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. I've been trying to pound this into people's heads. The eyeballs are what counts. What you do after you've got the eyeballs to monetize or generate leads or create that into revenue for yourself, then you can do that. But without the eyeballs first, people are just going to scroll by you. If I have to hear another loan officer talk about a 3-2-1 buy down or the fucking Fed or the rates, I'm going to shoot myself in the head, dude. If I see another real estate agent tell me about their goddamn house that they got for sale and they're at an open house and this, if I hear it again, I swear it's unbelievable to me. Yet they leave out all these amazing things and advantages that they have and talents that they have. They leave those off and they don't distribute what they consume. And it's such a major loss for them. Yet you do the opposite.
Nail on the head, not distributing what you consume. I'm fucking tired of the just sold, just on my way to showings. It's fucking boring, to be frank about it. And you know, my style's not for everybody. There's people that are like, you're fucking stupid and obnoxious. Okay, whatever. The proof is in the pudding. I sell more homes. I am a very, like you mentioned earlier, I am very humbled by what I do, but at the same time, the people who are saying that they want to create content and do the things that I'm doing, but with their style, well, they're not even using their style. They're just fucking posting pictures of everybody else and posts that everybody else is doing. I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with some of those things. I throw in a couple, you know, very surface level posts here and there as well, but you couldn't have said it better. Distributing what you consume. And you know, you're not consuming boring shit. You're consuming fun and entertaining shit.
You got it. And the funny thing is that when I talk to these people about this, it does get them thinking and they start going, oh, okay, yeah, you know what? You're right. And then what ends up happening is they'll put out a piece of content that's really off the cuff, like you said. It's really like from the heart, whether it's an entertaining piece, it could be something that's really emotional. It's a story that they went through of, you know, that hero story, whatever, the heartbreak to the hero, you know, it could be all of these different things. Regardless of that, they put that out, the audience reacts. It's a great reaction. Things happen. And then the next day they go right back to the other thing that they were doing. And I'm like, We literally just talked about this. You literally did it. And it's like, pay attention to your audience. When your audience tells you what they like, pay attention to that and give them more of that. The lack of attention there just shows me that a majority of people that put content out, it's selfishly been put out. They're not doing it to either make someone laugh or, you know, and I think about this all the time. Would someone take this piece of content and go, honey, you got to see this, or I should probably share this with a friend. This could probably help them. I think about that when I put that content out, or is that going to transfer emotion? And if it doesn't hit any of those three things, then I go, oh, you know what? Maybe this isn't a good idea to put this piece of content out because it's not going to hit on any of those three things. So why wouldn't you be able to still do that in the real estate side? And again, this is where the attention, where you caught my attention, because this is the next thing that I want to talk about. And I think is really important. You and I don't necessarily, I don't want to say we don't agree on the strategy, but you've got your own strategy. So now that we've talked about the entertainment side and what you do from that standpoint, let's talk about the strategy of like your consistency, you know, what the content that you put out, why you feel the way you do about when you put a piece of content out, why you do it the way that you do it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with the consistency aspect and with everybody saying that they're a guru, we have two different styles, and obviously you are monumentally more successful than I, but I've done relatively well in the last 3 years to go from not being in real estate and making $17,000 my first year before I got into real estate to selling 170 homes in 3 years. I've obviously figured something out. So I'm not a guru. Nobody is a guru. But for me, it's like, okay, what makes sense for me? What makes me happy and fulfills me and fills my cup that makes me want to keep going and keep doing this thing? And what are other people going to react to? Mm-hmm. So for me, with my consistency, I get bored of seeing the same damn thing shoved down people's throat every single day. And, you know, that really works for some people. Depending on what your goal is, what you're trying to do, that's great. For me, it doesn't work. I get bored. I hit the unfollow button just because I can't take it anymore. I don't want people to unfollow me. So I try, like I said previous, a little bit earlier, I try to make it so that you say, what the fuck is he doing next? You know, I might go a week without posting anything, you know, in regards to real estate or at all. If I don't feel like posting, I'm not going to do it. If I don't think that I have something at least halfway decent to put out there, I'm not going to do it. And it's not because I'm afraid of putting something bad out. It's just, I don't want to be boring. I want to keep that flavor. I want to keep that spice. I want to keep those eyeballs and their attention. I don't want to get unfollowed because I'm just putting the same shit out there every day. So that's kind of been my strategy and my makeup with it. You know, and then the personal aspect, like I said, filling my cup. I don't want to get to the point where I hate doing something, where it becomes a chore. You know, I selling 170 homes in the last 3 years, doing two flips, purchasing investment properties, trying to maintain a social life, build a business, build a brand. It hasn't been exhausting. I mean, there are exhausting periods of it, absolutely, but it hasn't been exhausting because it doesn't feel like a chore to me. It doesn't feel like work. And that is because I think of my pace and my style of doing things. You know, I'm a very hardworking person, but if I don't feel like doing something, I'm not going to do it. Consistency is key, but it's a different kind of consistency rather than a scheduled interval of I have to post this on Monday, I have to post this on Tuesday, and on Wednesdays we do this. At this time, that's not for me. And it's super great and amazing and works well for other people, but it doesn't fit into my platform and how I operate.
And you know what I think is, what's important is that I think you look at it like you're like going, if I were to compare you to other people, which is always tough to do, but if you look at the comparisons, it's like, if the goal is like growth, like consistent growth, then yeah, it makes sense that you're like, you want to be everywhere every day and you want to try to garner as much attention as possible if that's the goal. But whenever I talk to you, that's like never on your list of things. You're like, if it does, it happens. Like it is. And the fucking funniest thing is that you're exactly the type of person that it happens to, because you don't care if it happens or not. But what sets you apart is this, and this is where I find it to be interesting. The way that you do things, it's almost as if you don't have to be consistent with the smaller stuff, but you're consistent with the larger stuff, where there's a build up to something that's coming. And you did it with the Blink 182 video. And as the Eminem video started to boil and go and this way and everything else, I'm like, that video still is going to garner more attention. As the longer it's out there, the more attention it's going to garner. That is just a fact. That right there, where if I know, like, I'm like, dude, the odds are you're probably going to get four, maybe five dope ass videos like that out of Colin a year, maybe. You might get three. But here's the interesting part, is that, like, the average person is never going to go to those lengths of production value. So they have to go the smaller way. They have to go, you know, the more consistency way, because that's the only way they're going to be able, because they don't have that talent to be able to create that type of content. You don't need to do that. You're very much like my friend Mike Reuter, who's the same way. Same way. He is the most inconsistent guy I've ever met. But he has gone viral probably six times. And it angers me a little bit when I watch him and I'm like, why the fuck? Why can't we take this to the next level? And it's almost like he doesn't want to do it, but he reminds me very much like you. You're magnetized to him. You're like, I fucking love this guy. And like, he's one of those people who's just like, you can't say anything bad about him. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. And you never, you know, and there's only certain people out there that are like that. But when you're in a situation where you've gone to the production value that you have, I don't think you need to be consistent every day, because that video works every single day for you to drum up leads, generate awareness and everything else like that. So I don't think you need to go that route. This is a question that I've been really excited to ask you. You can answer it or not answer it. It's up to you.
Let's go. I feel like I know what it is.
Okay.
But go.
Okay. The Blink-182 video or the Eminem video. Give me a idea of the number that it costs to produce something like that.
Let's put it this way.
I knew I wasn't going to get an exact number from you. I fucking knew it, dude. But it's fine.
You talk about talent. You talk about talent and luck.
Yeah.
And how 60% of it is luck. I would say 75% of what I do is luck. 10% is talent. And then that other 15%, good old fashioned hard work, my friend. So I got really lucky. I met the right people at the right time. And we're trying to do this together. You know, these guys aren't full-time videographers. Mm-hmm. They have jobs, they have families. They deserve to be full-time videographers. So going back to my, let's put it this way, I got a steal of a deal on those videos, and they need to be charging more. I always give them nice bonuses because they're just, watching them do their thing is incredible. I'm truly lucky, blessed, all the things that they've come into my life and that I get to watch them do their craft, because it inspires me to be better at my craft and work that much harder, because they're tireless, they're relentless, they're incredibly fucking talented. They are beyond talented. So, you know, I got a good deal on it. You know, for both of them, I paid.
Hold on one second. You don't have to say what you paid. What I would say is, let's imagine that somebody was trying to do it to make something like that. Like, let's just say you inspired another real estate agent to go, oh yeah, you know what? I want to try something like that. Not the same video, but I'm saying like just something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think they could expect? 20 grand?
20 grand, 20, $25,000.
$25,000. So you look at like the average house in the country and whatever, and you try to figure out what the average commission would be based on a piece of content like that. And you might have to sell, I don't know, two houses, three houses, four houses, depending upon where you are, five. Okay. You got to sell five houses off. You in Wisconsin got to sell five. Yeah. I mean, it's Wisconsin, guys. It's not fucking Baltimore, where he could sell one fucking house and make the commission back. Okay. Where it's like a goddamn shack in Baltimore is like $950,000. It's ludicrous. Regardless of that, if you were to talk to an average real estate agent, they would be like, you are out of your fucking mind. But if you came to them and said, hey, listen, it's going to be 25 grand for 4 months for us to run your commercial on the radio. You know, the radio station that you listen to, 101.9 Light FM. They have no fucking problem doing that. Or if you say to them, hey, you know, I got this really nice billboard off 695. It's going to be 15 grand for 6 months, but you know, you'll make your money back. You don't have a fucking clue how many houses you've sold from that billboard. Don't give me that shit.
Yeah.
It is that small-minded edge and that mindset that will consistently hold them back and keep them. I don't care how many houses they sell. It will consistently make them a just about average mediocre real estate agent from an awareness standpoint. That's them.
For sure. And so, you know, it's a $25,000 production value, in my opinion. I don't know anything about producing.
If not more.
But, if not more, I know that if there's anybody out there looking to have it done, and again, I would be more than happy to share their information. Do it. Absolutely. By all means, do it. I know that they would do it for less than that. You could get it done cheaper. And with the billboard thing, yeah, you don't know who's calling from your billboard. You don't know what kind of effect that has. I have direct and calculable sales and a direct sale off the first video.
So let's talk about that for a second. Give me the calculation off the first video. Have you the calculations off the blank video? I mean, that's probably still producing leads for you. Has to be.
Yeah, I mean that video went viral around the world. Like I have people you know, oh, wow, what is Beloit, Wisconsin? Where is this place? Holy shit, I actually have someone coming there from yada, yada, yada. I just had a referral the other day, you know, that they saw the video and sent it up. Someone who saw the video reached out directly to me. I went and showed them four houses that afternoon and got her into one of the houses that I showed. That first video paid for both of my videos.
The road
because
video.
Because of that transaction that I did. And it is, I'm still getting leads. People are still commenting, sharing that video. It's wild.
So dude, that's my point. That's my point is what you put in is what you're going to get out. And if you're willing to really, you know, bite the bullet and if you get, look, here's the thing. Obviously, again, we were just talking about this. Luck's a little bit of it. I'm very lucky that I have a video producer here. His name's TJ D'Arpino. Guys, excellent. I mean, unbelievable. I would put him up there with your guys. If he had to do it, if I showed you some of his stuff, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's that fucking guy's got it. The problem is no one here in this area is willing to go super deep with this guy. But if they did,
yeah,
it would pay so many dividends for them, it wouldn't even be funny. And that difference between you and everyone else at this point, at least from what I've seen, or maybe if there's a couple other people out there that have done it, are willing to pull the trigger on those types of things and take risks like a real entrepreneur and not necessarily cross their fingers, but be willing to take a risk or take a loss on the potential of trying something different and new to see what happens. And you've done it three times. And it's worked. So, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. And you and I started talking before the M&M idea was even on the shelf. Like, I'm sure it was being talked about, but you didn't tell me about it until I saw you dye your fucking hair. And I was like, oh, I know what's coming next.
So
dude, that shit was coming.
Little disclaimer here. I did not write that song. And here is where the luck comes into it. And here is where, like, I'm truly, truly humbled by the talent level of these guys. You know, we are trying to grow together. I always tell people I am not in it for the fame. I am in it for the fun.
Yep.
And I am not in it to be an influencer. I am in it to be influential. I want to help people. And I want to help these guys. So after the first one and the traction that it got, and, you know, they actually had a few people around the country reach out to them about talking, possibly doing a production like that.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm driving around with actually one of my investor clients and really close friends one afternoon, and I received that audio track. And I just, I almost got tears in my eyes, to be completely honest with you. I called them instantly, my investors in the car. And we're just like looking at each other, slack jaw, like, what the fuck did we just listen to? Like, they wrote a song parodying without me, talking about my last parody video in the song. What the fuck? So I call him up and I'm like, you guys are nuts. What is this? I had no, why didn't you tell me? And they were like, it kind of just came to us today. We sat down and wrote something up. Like, what do you think? Are you ready for the next one? And you know, how do you say no? To be honest, you were as shocked as I was. My friend.
Bro, these guys, by the way, were these guys in the video?
They were.
I fucking knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew that had to be them. I knew it. These guys are smart, dude. They're sharp.
They're so
smart. They realized if they write fucking songs for you and send you the songs and they know it's banging, that you're like, oh yeah, fuck it, let's do it. They know now. They got the balls. Me. Yeah, all they gotta do is write a song for you and you're like, oh shit, I gotta do another one.
I'm busting out the checkbook. Yeah.
That let's is, go. Dude, no, you're it's, right. That's it's a bro, super, look.
Super mutually beneficial relationship.
Yep. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, extremely talented. You know, at some point, I would say, like, you know, if you want to mention who they are, you're more than welcome to do that.
Their media company. Tag them in it. Yeah, absolutely. Their media company is APNM Media. It's Phil, Andy, and Matt. We got to tag them in it here. Also, reach out to me. I don't believe in keeping secrets and that kind of stuff, especially because I wouldn't be talking to you right now without them. I want to take them to the top too.
Well, and I mean, the thing is that you're already kind of in on that trajectory, whether you want to be or not. And like I said, you remind me very much of my friend Mike, where you're a giver, 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 giver. And I've learned a lot from him about being like that, like just giving as much as possible. And it always comes back around, dude. It always comes back around. It's all cyclical. A lot of people haven't figured that out yet, but it very much reminds me of him. And there's a reason why he has the reputation that he does around here. And like I said, if I put you two in a room together, you guys would hit it off in 2 seconds. He's a title guy, actually. So he started his own title company. Huh?
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I might as well just fuck make that introduction, because I can tell you right now, he'd do a ton of business with you. Let's talk about I'm surprised. So you definitely have put this video, the longer forms of these videos, you've put them on YouTube, yeah?
Yes. Yes, both are on YouTube, and I need to be better about it.
Okay, well, my question is, here's my question. Where did the videos perform the best? I'm curious. Let's go all three. The three big ones.
So what are you referencing for the other big one? Because I have the two parodies.
The first video, the Rogue video.
Okay.
I still think I'm counting the Rogue video as a big video because that was the one that set you off.
Well, and so any of my original, because I have a lot of different original videos, and some of them are robes, some of them are just like goofy kind of stuff, which would normally do back in the day between 7,000 and 35,000 views, which I feel like was a lot in 2019, 2020.
On what, Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, Facebook was my biggest, like back in the day. I knew that if I posted something that was good, 5,000 was usually like my low end that I could anticipate getting out of them.
You're barely touching those numbers now on Facebook if you're trying to get into it.
Oh,
if
I get 1,000 views on Facebook, it's like, we're fucking going out celebrating, boys. Like, let's let the hair down. We fucking made it.
Dude, that platform is fucked. And I was just talking about with people today about that you got a company that's 11,000 employees lighter. Majority of them are developers and engineers. The odds are that there is some really like awful shit falling apart on that platform right now, as we speak. which scares the shit out of me. And you're a great example of you saying to me, hell, you know, 3-4 years ago, I'm getting 35,000 views. And it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And now today, it's, if I get 1,000 views, I'm like, ooh, that's awesome. That's a fucking problem, dude.
Yeah.
That's a serious issue.
It is. Well, here's mine. I'm all about like framing and mindset. So I just tell myself to make myself feel better that I'm getting in front of 1,000 right people, you know, because I really am not super, I'm really not, I mean, I care and I look, but I really don't care about the numbers. For me, it's just keeping doing that stuff, keeping that wheel turning, keeping eyeballs on me, doing something different every time. So, you know, it is disappointing, especially it is disappointing this last video, especially for how much more work it was, you know, not just for myself, but especially the guys that wrote it. And this was so much more editing and all that. It is sad to see that, like, you know, it didn't go viral necessarily worldwide. It kind of stayed within the sphere that I've already, you know, I'm not even going to say created, fell into.
Well, no, I understand. Colin, where did that video go?
In what regard do you?
As far as distribution, where did that video go?
So it went on all the platforms. I mean, Facebook and Instagram are my two favorites just because they're the platforms that I use the most often. And then TikTok and YouTube as well.
They did go to TikTok and YouTube.
They did.
And on TikTok, it didn't go.
I think I got like 500 views, but I also, it's a four minute and 24 second music video. And people just don't have the attention to sit there and watch something for me, even, you know, to sit and watch something that is that long. It's very rare that I do. I get my nuggets and then I leave. And I don't know if, you know, I got kind of punished with the algorithm by that. I don't know how long someone needs to be. I'm not techie. I don't understand all this kind of stuff. So that, you know, kind of is against me as well. Like, you know, how long does someone have to watch something before it gets counted and gets pushed down to the next person? I don't know. In my head, maybe it was too long. People didn't watch it long enough. I also don't post on TikTok very often. I don't
that has
other posts very often. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with it. A part of me almost wants to take the video, edit it to like 1 minute, and then repost it.
Well, I did that. I did the teaser on TikTok as well. And I mean, and Instagram, and that damn thing did almost the same numbers, especially on TikTok. The video and the teaser did pretty much the same numbers. And the teaser was like 30 seconds.
That makes me just want to take the video and post it myself and see what it does.
I would be, she's yours.
I might actually do that. That actually might be a good experiment. Number one. Number two, it might be interesting. So the way that I can basically tag you and say, hey, you're coming on the podcast, this, that, and everything else, and shoot and upload the video and see what it does on my channel, just out of curiosity, because I'm wondering maybe if that's what it is. Maybe it is the eyeball thing. Maybe it's because you didn't put, but for me, it's such an interesting piece of content that you would think that somebody would stop immediately and watch the whole fucking thing.
I would think so. I think what else hurt me on this one though is I was really lucky and it was awesome. The Broke Agent shared my first video on Facebook and Instagram, and you know when
you
almost
didn't share this one?
Did not.
You send it to him?
Send it to him. We talked about it. I don't know. I'm blacklisted.
What happened there?
I don't know. I think they're getting a little bit more serious now. I don't know. I see them posting some other content now, talking about actual housing stuff. So I'm being facetious. Yeah, those guys, I'm so lucky and thankful that they did what they did for the first one. So you know, maybe I was optimistic that they would. And again, like this goes back to not even just wanting it to be big for me, but wanting it to be big for the people who put in the most amount of effort, and that is the APNM guys. Like,
yeah.
So it is what it is, man.
Colin, based on their talent, like, there's not even it's just a matter of time before those guys break loose. Those are the type of guys that, like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they come up and they write a fucking Stranger Things thing, And all of a sudden it's the next big thing on Netflix and you just happen to be there. You don't think they take you with them in some capacity. Because here's the other thing. You can act and you can fucking do some other crazy shit. And that again, bro, you can. I don't care what I mean, dude, I'm a pretty, you know, I would say I'm comfortable in front of the camera. I've got to tell you, man, some of the stuff that you do and your mannerisms, it's almost as if you've been doing it your whole life.
I always thought it would be cool to be an actor. I loved plays growing up. Like when I was really young, I did plays and stuff.
Oh, so you did?
I do Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday because you get to dress up and be somebody else, you know? And it's not that I want to be somebody else. I want to be me, but it's cool to act too.
Yeah, which leads me into my next thing. Over the last maybe 2 months, 3 months, is it your wife?
Girlfriend?
Girlfriend? Okay. She's going to like that I called you her wife, but whatever.
Yeah.
Or your wife. So shout out to, what's her name?
Her name's Sam.
Sam. Shout out to Sam. I noticed something that Sam started peeking her way into your social media, which I'm a fan of. I think she's beautiful. She's funny. I'm sure she's a very nice girl. But I noticed something between the two of you. I have to ask. I did notice that you obviously are making good money because you're buying Aviator Nation gear, which that stuff shows up on my Instagram every 5 seconds. And to buy a hoodie, I'm pretty sure you got to sell a kid.
I got the whole sweatsuit, man.
Which leads me to the yes. Which leads me to the next thing. Where in the fuck or why in the fuck do you and her? It seems like now all you guys wear is sweatsuits. What is going on with that?
To anyone listening to this, being like, "What the fuck is Aviator Nation? How much do you pay for this shit?" Way too much money. I'm wearing a fucking $7 Volcom Stone shirt right now. And like, my style. But I was skiing out in my my old stomping grounds out in Vail. And I did not live in Vail because I was rich and famous. I ate peanut butter and jellies and ramen noodles when I was living out there. And the Aviator Nation store was one of my favorite stores before. Yeah. It was called Kimosabi. And it was like boots and cowboy hats and just really cool Western-y shit. I always like to go. So I was like heartbroken that it was not in there anymore. But then I realized it was across the street. And I was like, I'm going to go check out this other store. It looks eclectic and cool. And I'm kind of an eclectic kind of guy. And I was like, this shit is awesome. It's so soft. And I kind of need like a matching sweatsuit. And I brought it up to the counter. And like, I'm checking out. And like, that'll be $440. I'm like, oh. And I'm also not the kind of guy to go walk away and put like tuck my tail between my legs. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I guess I'm getting a $400 sweatsuit. So to anybody who's listening, not that kind of guy. but yeah, man. So she's awesome. And we have a good time. I'm not a fancy guy. I have reached a level of success. I like putting all my money back into real estate, passive income, because I don't want to do this. I mean, I want to do this forever, but not in the same capacity that I do it now. I was not smart with money before, like when I was living in Vail, eating peanut butter and jellies and ramen. So I'm trying to just kind of get to a level now where I can enjoy some of the fruits of my labor, but also set myself up so I don't have to work as hard and, you know,
and I want to talk about
work
that.
Backwards.
I want to talk about the investing stuff. But that didn't answer my question.
Oh, sorry. I rambled.
Why are you guys walking around in sweatsuits now all the time?
So
it's all the time, like, dude.
She's got like a million. I only have the one. She has like a million. I don't know. We went to dinner with some friends, or we had like a wine tasting with some friends, and we were like, let's show up in sweatsuits. So we did. And then I think that we just kind of like set the standard then from there. And now that's just like our attire.
I just feel like the last like seven things that I've seen from you guys, it's all of you guys. It's both of you in sweatsuits constantly. I just think, and it's not like shit where I wear like a hooded sweatshirt and a pair of sweatpants. It's like, this shit matches. It's a matching hoodie and matching sweatpants.
I envy her. I look up to this girl. She inspires me in more ways than just sweatsuits. But she's got a bunch, man. I don't even like. I don't even know if I've seen them all yet.
You can tell that you guys have a great time together. And dude, honestly, that's one of the most important parts. So I think that shows through in your, social media, man. You know, it's like that you guys, when you look at couples, a lot of times you're like, oh, well, they, sometimes you can't even tell they're a couple because they just get along so well.
Yeah.
And that's, it's just really good to see. As far as the investing stuff goes, what, you know, you were talking about, hey, I wasn't really responsible with my money, you know, prior to getting into real estate and stuff like that. What made you start to go, okay, now wait a minute, there's also an opportunity here where I can start investing in real estate and really, you know, do well on that side of the business as well. What made you get into that?
So one of the things that kind of like pushed me back home from Colorado, yes, I missed my friends and family, but I also, you know, I worked in banquets. I worked paid on call, banquet server, you know, $1 million weddings, this kind of stuff. And I loved it. I truly had a good time, but I worked with some folks who were in their 60s and their 70s and had been doing it for 20 years. And not that, and they're happy as pigs and shit, you know, and really amazing. But I realized through watching them that that's not what I wanted to do with my life. And that is kind of what I wanted to do with my life. When I moved out to Colorado, I was like, I will work till the day I die. I'm here to have fun, you know, and I can get hit by a bus tomorrow, swipe that credit card, work, you know, pick up a shift to pay for it. I realized that I didn't want to do that. One of the richest women in the world lives in my hometown. Now she's an amazing, incredible person who has revitalized our city, like truly revitalized our city, Beloit, Wisconsin. Would not be what it is today without this woman. Diane Hendricks is her name. She's absolutely incredible. So I realized that there was a lot of opportunity here. And when I was listening to those bigger podcasts, I don't know why I can't say that right. Bigger Pockets podcasts before I moved back home, I realized that I wanted to start to get into investing in real estate. And you know, when I moved back home and got into real estate, I thought that I was probably going to just work with investors and then be an investor myself, because that's what really kind of spoke to me. Because, you know, hearing the stories about what it could do for your life, what it could provide for you, and how systematic it all is, you know, it all made sense. So you know, I started making, you know, more money than I could have ever dreamed of or even needed, really. So I wanted to, you know, put that to work for me. It doesn't do good sitting in the bank. It doesn't do good buying $400 sweatsuits or you know, granted I have one as we were talking, or buying a new vehicle or anything like that. If I put my money to work for me through real estate, I realize that I can help myself, I can help my friends and family. And then ultimately, you know, once I reach that top of the mountain, I can help anybody that I want to. And that's the goal.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. Cause it's one of those things where I feel like a lot of people feel like it might be like out of their grasp, where they're like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, maybe when I have this, I can do it. Or maybe when I can have that. And I really feel like a lot of people don't realize how, you know, if you have good credit, you have a lot of really good opportunity. If there's a little bit of stability there, you actually really do have an opportunity to do it. As long as you align yourself with the right people and you can kind of either self-educate or again, align yourself with the right people and find some really good mentors to kind of guide you, you know, that have already been there. I feel like it's such an undervalued or underutilized or underdiscussed way of building wealth. I feel like people kind of like, they just scan over it and then they just don't really go deep on it. You know what I mean? They'll go, you know, they'll talk about crypto and they'll talk about, you know, starting a business and they'll talk about all these things, but they don't talk about investing in real estate. They don't talk about that or how they do it or how they got it done or whatever it is. And I feel like the guys that do talk about it, all they really do is talk about how much money they've made. Like they don't go any further. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's like, look what it can provide. Look what it can do. Yes. See me. I don't know if you saw my little TikTok I made today, kind of poking fun at Grant Cardone, like, I'm sitting on my private jet. Let me tell you about how much money I made. You know, it's crazy how much, you know, and you never get like, okay, well, how did you make it? And I know that he does a lot of other stuff too. Absolutely. You know, he's helped a lot of people. So it really is an all good fun, but you know, it is easy for these gurus. There's our word again, to sit back and say, look at, But that's the problem with teachers. And I think a lot of the people who teach something is it becomes so first nature to you that you truly want to help people do it and achieve the same things that you did, but you stop talking about like the beginning steps because they're common sense to you and you don't realize that it's not necessarily common sense to other people. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I thoroughly enjoy, like, I love talking about buying property and investments that I've made and like really breaking it down because, you know, it is important. I do want to help people. It's not to brag. It's really to be like, You should get into this. I wish that I got into it earlier. You know, and one of my other pet peeves is like, not just talking about like how much money they made. Everybody makes it sound like, well, yeah, you just put 25% down on a house and you know, it's an investment property and good to go. And it's like, well, I don't have 25% down. I'm just going to invest $1,000 into crypto instead and cross my fingers and, you know, hope to God that it's going to blow up and I'm going to retire a millionaire. There's other ways to do it. There's so the coolest thing and the one of my biggest things other than the fun stuff that I get to do, one of the biggest things that I love about real estate is there is an infinite realm of possibilities on being an agent, investing in real estate, all these things. If you don't have money, team up with someone who does. And I know that people say it on podcasts all the time. Yeah, team up, find the money, private money, hard money, all this kind of stuff. But they don't necessarily, again, get into the nuts and bolts of like, how, where do you find these people? What conversations do you have? And it's possible. The first home that I bought, some people that I met for dinner one time wrote me a check for $120,000 so that I could go buy my first property, which is really cool. I wasn't quite there yet. I didn't have the money. So it's super possible, and it's really important to, you know, I know we're talking about content creation and whatnot, but you know, it's really important to get people talking about that kind of stuff too, and dig a little bit deeper into how do you do it? Because it truly is the greatest way that you can build wealth.
I think it's an extremely important topic to discuss, to be honest with you, because I feel like it's one of those things. It's look, that's not discussed in any, you know, economics class or business class in school. It's very, very much like the lack of discussion about how to manage credit in the public school system. Both of these things, right, are extremely important in everyday life, yet barely discussed in any capacity when it comes to education, even higher level education. I don't remember ever having that discussion in any of my business classes in college. I don't know if you do, but I don't. Definitely did not talk about it. I mean, I grew up in the 90s, so you have to understand in my business class, they were teaching you how to write a check. They weren't teaching you how to save money. They weren't teaching you how to invest money. They were teaching you how to spend money. And to me, that's an issue. That's a problem. So these people today, whether they're my age, which I'm in my 40s, or they're younger, they don't have anybody in that I believe other than a parent or someone that they see online that they can look up to as like a virtual mentor that can help them understand how to build wealth outside of going and working for someone else or whatever it is like that. So I think it's an extremely important topic. I would love to see more content from you about that and really break it down in a more basic way for people to understand instead of the overarching levels that people discuss it now. Or the in the face kind of thing of like, if you do this, then you get this. And it's like, yeah but dude, tell me about the first 5 years of like you actually doing it. Because you weren't paying someone $2,000 a week to make your food for you.
Yeah.
You weren't.
Yeah, no, it's hard. And that step gets, that's not the pretty step, you know?
It's not.
It doesn't, and it sucks that it doesn't make for good content talking about the hustle and the grind and, you know,
know if it doesn't make for good content. I think it's something that's different because when I talk about, dude, I went through bankruptcy, I went through divorce, have started multiple companies and businesses and had shitty partners and it did not succeed, or it succeeded and I got stabbed in the back. I got a million stories for that. But, you know, but I discuss that stuff because I know full well that there's somebody on the other side of that screen that's going through that same situation right now. I'm thinking, oh, this is it. This is the end. And in reality, it's not. It's just another lesson on the travels to the eventual success, but they never look at it that way at that moment. But it makes them feel a little bit comfortable that they see somebody on the other side going, oh, okay, so he was there and he seems like he's doing all right. So, okay, maybe I'm going to be okay. And I know for a fact that that type of content that I put out, it might not get a ton of likes and it might not get whatever it is, but I know for a fact that people see it because they DM me, number one. And number two, I know for a fact they see it because sometimes I'll see them out in the real world and they'll come up to me and they'll say, dude, that one video that you put out, like that really spoke to me and it really helped me that day. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, why didn't you fucking comment? Why didn't you DM me and tell me that? Why'd you wait until now to tell me? But it means so much more.
Sure.
To me.
Well, when I say that content doesn't perform as well, you know, like you're a real guy. Everything that you put out, like I don't always comment and like on your stuff, but I always appreciate seeing how many comments, likes, and shares your stuff is getting. It's because you're real. So I wasn't saying necessarily for you that content doesn't perform well. It's just that type of content doesn't, and it's a shame. It's a damn shame. That type of content doesn't perform as well as Grant Cardone holding a stack of real or fake money, whatever it is, because, or, you know, guy standing in front of a Bugatti talking about real estate investing. The real stuff doesn't perform as well. It's a damn shame.
I think it's always going to be like that because I think
it's always
going to be what
people,
like that.
People want to see the nice cars and the watches and the planes and money. But that's not what real estate investing is. It's horrible at times. It's absolutely horrible. And I do try to be pretty candid with the hardships of it as well so that people can have a baseline understanding. So, yeah.
Well, that's why I think, I appreciate coming on the podcast because that's why I think people need to hear stories from people, you know, like you, where it's like, they might see one of these videos or they might, you know, they might see you on a pedestal of success, but they might see you and go, man, you know, why can't I be like that? They don't know the whole story. They don't know what it took to get there. They don't know that it was a little bit of luck meeting these guys and this is how this worked. They don't know that stuff. So I think it's always important to shine the light on people like you because everyone has a great story. Everyone has an interesting story.
Everybody.
They just don't get to share it enough. And you know, again, I knew that your story was going to be good. I didn't really realize that it was going to have as much of the, like the things with the videos and stuff. I definitely didn't see that coming. The fact of that you're now, you know, you went from eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the Vail, Colorado, to now you're investing in real estate and you're doing as well as you're doing in that short of span of time shows people what, if you take the right steps and move in the right direction and align yourself with the right people, how much your life can change in a matter of years. It's just astonishing to me that more people don't take that avenue, you know, and I don't know the secret to that. I don't know how to get somebody to get them to think differently like that. I don't know if I ever will. You know, I look at my kids and they're all four of them are different, and I can get one to do one thing, but the other one can't. I can't get the other one to do the other thing, and it's very much like talking to different people. You know, it's like you can't. Yeah. They're not all of them are going to be huge successes. I knew that. So, but some of them are going to do really well. And sometimes it's the ones that you don't think are going to do well or the ones that do well. I can tell you for a fact, and I don't know if this was for you, this was the same for you, but when I was growing up, it was a guaranteed fact that I was either going into the military or jail. It was one of those two sides. There was not going to be an alternative. There was no gray area. It was like, when I was growing up, this kid is going to end up here or he's going to end up there.
Yeah.
That was it.
Similar, man. Like I've always done well in school and, you know, was expected to do well in school. I have always been, I tried to be as kind and polite as, like, my parents gave me the most amazing upbringing that anybody could ask for, but I was reckless. I threw caution to the wind, which has helped me in my business, in my life today. I would not trade one day in my life for anything different. It truly has helped me, but you know, it's a scary line to walk. Where do you go? Do you end up in jail? Do you end up in the military to save you from something? And now we're here. So it truly is possible, no matter what, like your background, and we're sitting here talking about all this stuff to make it happen. And, you know, it who we are as people developed us into what we are today. But yeah, you don't have to be some clean cut genius kid who never was reprimanded or stayed out a little too late or, you know, whatever. You don't have to be that person to have success. Like, you can be anybody. You can be that kind of reckless person right now and change tomorrow. And in 3 years, be on someone's podcast. And, you know, it's truly wild.
And that's the luck of the world that we live in right now. Like our generation, the younger generation, maybe just below me or whatever, I don't think that they realize how lucky they kind of are. But I also don't think that, like, my generation, I would say like Gen X, like, they don't realize how lucky they were from a standpoint of understanding. They were in pre-internet, pre-web 2 social media stuff to where we are now, that we had the best of both worlds. They don't realize that they have a whole nother life ahead of them, that they can actually go out and do some amazing things, like become a real estate agent and an investor. And, you know, 3 years prior to that, you were in Vail, you know, I don't know if you were snowboarding or if you were skiing or whatever it was, but, or whatever, I don't know what you were doing out there, but.
I mean, come on, skiing, who snowboards? Come on, I'm just kidding. I love my snowboarders too.
I have nothing against skiers, dude. I've been snowboarding since I was 12 years old. I have nothing against skiers. I've been snowboarding with skiers my whole life, and they've all been really good friends of mine. And they can actually do some fucking stupid, dumb stuff on skis. Like, it blows my mind why they do it on skis, but it just happened to be that they got on skis and I got on a snowboard. It was just that was what happened. I've never skied my life, honestly, but I've been snowboarding. And isn't that weird?
Let's do it. Let's get together and do a trading places. I'll hop on the board. You hop.
I am not doing that.
We'll see if we end up in the
yard. I will not get on a pair of skis, dude. It would not look good. I have way too much ego for that on a board, where I'd be like, no, I don't want to do this. This is awful. I feel like I know exactly what happened. My legs would start spreading this wide, and I would just go into this uncomfortable, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme split. Just wouldn't look good. I want to close this out by just asking you real quick. Let's say you're a current real estate agent. Doesn't matter what market you're in. Say you're just getting into the business. What are three really good tips that you would give a real estate agent new right off the boat? They just came from playing hockey. They just came from skiing in Vail, and they just got home. Their old coach gave them a job. What are three, like, solid tips you would give them walking right in the door their first day of work?
Oh man, springing this on me when an hour ago we didn't even have this podcast lined up.
Sorry, guy.
So, number one, first and foremost, if you are not doing something, if you don't have something to do getting started off, find something to do. It's what I did in the beginning. You know, I was picking up the phone. I was making some content. You know, do the things that you need to be doing in order to perpetuate and create and generate business. You know, don't take any days off. There's no downtime in the beginning if you want to reach high levels of success. The other thing is, and, you know, I guess this isn't necessarily in order, surround yourself around the people that you need to be around, whether that's an old school brokerage like Remax or, you know, your Century 21 or, you know, the new Young Bucks and Reels and the EXPs. Get around the people that are going to motivate and inspire your growth. It's super important. You cannot do it alone. People talk about leverage all the time. Leverage is incredibly important. I wouldn't be sitting here without APNM Media. I wouldn't be sitting out here with my broker Otis. I would not be sitting out here with my dear friend Arsenio White, who filmed my original videos. Like, I love that man to death. I'm so, so lucky to have the people that I have around me in my life who I've been able to either leverage or just kind of come together and commingle with to make greatness happen. So find those people. That's number two. And number three, you got to have fun with it. If you're not having fun immediately, find something else that's going to going to make you have fun. So, you know, be you, have fun, smile, laugh, be genuine. People pick up on that. People like it. And, you know, never forget where you came from. It's important to give credit where credit is due. It's important to be kind and be humble. And whatever you put into it, especially when it comes to people, is going to come back to you. Being really good at business is about numbers. Being really great at business is about people.
Oh, what a great way. What a great statement to end a great podcast. Kyle Schneider, thank you for coming on, brother. I know this isn't going to be your last one. Guys, stay tuned and look out for, we're going to launch the M&M Marshall Mathers, Colin Schneider, sticky video.
Schindler,
Colin Schindler. What did I say?
Schneider. Close enough.
I said Schneider. Yeah.
Like Schneider.
No, it's Schindler. My buddy Dan Schindler I grew up with. I'm going to release that video and then tag him and tag the guys and everything in it. Because I think that would be a good way to release this podcast. So if you see that video on there, then you know to go listen to the podcast. Go watch the podcast on Spotify. Go listen to it everywhere else, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, all that kind of stuff. Go follow Colin on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and wherever else he is. Just type his name in the podcast, in the captions. Go ahead.
At Robe Realtor. And it's Robed has one B in it. It's not Robbed. At Robe Realtor. R-O-B-E-D, you know how to spell realtor, you know, on all the platforms.
Yeah, thank God you didn't spell restaurant, because I always spell the word restaurant wrong. And
I don't know. I can never spell referral.
I can't spell referral either. There's a whole bunch of words.
You have to spell it every single day in this business, and I can't spell it.
This goes back to why I didn't do well in school. Colin, thanks again, bro. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate you.